This is part two of broadcast number 698. It's Mae Brussel. The program is called World Watchers. In case you picked it up in the middle, it's a one-hour broadcast of news and analysis of news events. This is April 22nd, 1985. Just at the end of part one of this broadcast, I mentioned the death of the president of Brazil. He never was made the president. The vice president is now the president, the one who would have been the head of that country, the first democratically elected president in over 20 years, died before he was able to take the oath of office. And I will do more about him. As I say, he was not the president. But before that, I want to mention five members of the royal family that are now involved with relatives who were high up with Adolf Hitler, Heinrich Himmler, and Hermann Göring. And you'll hear more of these families as time goes on. This is just beginning to burst open, this story. It started this last week with Princess Michael of Kent, whose father was in the SS under Hitler. She tried to cover it up by saying it was an honorary membership, but that was proven to be a lie. Baron von Riebnitz, R-E-I-B-N-I-T-Z, played a very active role with Hitler in the Gestapo. He had a rank of major. This is Queen Elizabeth's first cousin, Prince Michael, and it's her son's wife, a first cousin of Prince Charles and Lady Di. This woman's father joined the Gestapo in 1930. He was close to Hitler's right-hand man, Hermann Göring, the one whose yacht, after the war, was available to the British royal family and the Dutch and so forth. He was married in... at the time, he was an Austrian ambassador to Russia in 1941 and spent much of the war on the staff of the SS Gestapo. His headquarters were in Breslau, Silesia, and now it's become part of Poland. He left the SS, this according to the history, in 1944 to fight on the Russian front, and the SS ran the death camps where the Jews, the Russians, the Gypsies, the political activists, the people who objected to fascism were, of course, swept away and killed. The second story about the Nazis is Prince Philip's sister's husband, Queen of England's husband as a sister. And her husband is Prince Christoph of Hesse. He just passed away recently, but his son is still alive. Not recently, I take that back. He was killed in 1943. It was the Michaels of Kent, his father-in-law. Her father that just died recently. This one was killed during the war in 1943. He was a close aide of Heinrich Himmler. The other one was with Hermann Göring particularly. And he worked with the SS Gestapo and the Order of the Death's Head. These were the horrible people that planned the worst methods of the final destruction of the Jews, particularly to erase the world of all Jews. They organized the death camps, and Christoph was the head of the espionage network during the 1930s that gathered intelligence for Nazis and for Hitler and prepared for the invasion of Czechoslovakia. So they were perfectly willing to undermine otherwise good democracies and throw them under into the hands of Adolf Hitler, and he was betraying the people in Czechoslovakia, making way for Hitler to go in there. His son, Prince Rainer, R-A-I-N-E-R, is alive today, Rainer of Hesse. He's a first cousin to Prince Charles also, and he confirms that their family was very close to Adolf Hitler. He confirmed that. Prince Christoph had joined the SS in 1933, the other one in 1930. And while Prince Philip was serving in the war, fighting the Germans, the Nazis, and the Royal Navy, his sister's husband was closely connected with the Order of the Death's Head and with Himmler and with Hitler. So the cousins were each on different sides, but they're very close and never have had any differences. Prince Rainer said that their relationship with the royal family was never damaged by his father's activities from the 1930s to the Second World War. Now, the third member of the royal family to be exposed this past week, Prince Philip's uncle. Now, some of this has been in books, but people have not had it on the evening television, the Associated Press, and the wire services. Prince Philip's uncle, that's the current the husband of Queen Elizabeth, his father's brother, the Duke of Charles of Coburg, C-O-B-U-R-G, was Hitler's ambassador to Great Britain before the war, before Hitler invaded Poland, and he was a lieutenant general in the SA, the stormtroopers, in Hitler's notorious stormtroopers, and he was with Hitler until the end of the war, until 1945. The fourth person involved in the royal family is Prince Wilhelm of Hesse. He's a cousin of Prince Christoph. This is on the Duke of Prince Philip's side. Christoph is on that side. The Duke of Kent's on the Queen's side. He's Prince Philip's brother-in-law. He was captain in the SS Order of the Death's Head for Adolf Hitler and the people that guarded the concentration camps. The first, fifth person involved this week is Prince Christoph's elder brother, Prince Philip, Philippe. It's also, there's two Philips here, spelled or look alike. The brother-in-law of Great Britain's Prince Philip, Queen Elizabeth's husband. Again, he was a friend of Hermann Göring's, and he was responsible for organizing the robbery and confiscation of Europe's art treasures for the Austrian museums. Now, as I say, just a year ago in May, no, that's 2 years ago in May, in 1983, I was talking about SS Karl Wolff and Walter Rauff and the use of the yacht and the sequestering of Hitler's gold and their art treasures. And the people involved with the Hitler diary were obviously very much involved with the royal family in Great Britain or the relatives of the present husband of Queen Elizabeth, and from her husband's side and from her side. And you can see how much clout Adolf Hitler had. People don't like to admit that seamy side, although they know the Duke and Duchess of Windsor were close to Hermann Göring and the Nazi regime. I have four books that I have started reading simultaneously, different parts of them, haven't finished yet, and I'll share with you as time goes on. One is called The King Over the Water, The Scandalous Truth About the Windsor War Years Down in the Bahamas. It has to do with the Duke and Duchess of Windsor. He was Edward VIII. He was kept out by Winston Churchill and moved to the Bahamas because he was so pro-Nazi during the war, and Winston Churchill was the one who guided Great Britain through those terrible years until the victory over Adolf Hitler. Axel Winogrand had Nazi millions to buy Mexico, and he bought up the Duke of Windsor, and The King Over the Water is on the murder of Sir Harry Oakes and the downfall of the Duke and Duchess of Windsor because they were involved in that murder. Another book, Who Killed Sir Harry Oakes, by James Leeser. It says the cast of characters, Sir Harry Oakes, the billionaire, the world's richest man, and it lists a few, the Duke of Windsor, that was Edward VIII, the one whose cousins were involved with the Nazi Gestapo and so forth, Meyer Lansky, Charles Lucky, Luciano, Tom Dewey, and so forth. Another new book that just came out, I got two that were published. One was in England, one has come out here, but not much publicity. The Windsor Secret, New Revelations of the Nazi Connection by Peter Allen. Stein and Day published that. The Windsors Greeted by Hitler at Burster's Garden. So the royal family was very close to the shenanigans, the Himmler, Göring, Hitler connections, all of them, that, where it was made to think that Edward VIII was the lone pro-Nazi. It seems that the entire family has been involved, and now it is finally, as I say, making some news. It should make the news so that people be aware that these people have sworn this oath for 1,000 years and they haven't necessarily given up. There's another book, Operation Willie, the plot to kidnap the Duke of Windsor, came July 1940, and the cast of characters, of course, has the royal family and the Duke of Kent and the various members of the family run through these books, the bartering with them, the liaison of them, the father of the Prince Michael, who was working with Adolf Hitler's team, Mr. Göring, and with Edward VIII down in the Bahamas. So you'll be hearing more about this. For years, I've talked about Nazi connections on my radio programs when nobody else was saying Nazi. So now I have company and I'm not alone. And I think you'll find it very interesting to see how this country has been sold out, and you'll be able to see it a little more clearly as time goes on, as the developments of these real traitors begin to surface. Now, as I say, Henry Kissinger had lunch with Ronald Reagan Wednesday, April the 10th, 1985, and it got in the newspapers April the 14th and 15th. The two of them smiling up at the White House, a single rose in the middle of the table, obviously posing, and their napkins folded on their plate, ready to munch whatever it is they eat. And right after that, just shortly after that, a month and 1 week, The news came out, Brazil's president-elect dies after 70 operations. President-elect Tancredo, T-A-N-C-R-E-D-O, Neb, N-E-V-E-S, thwarted by illness from becoming Brazil's first civilian leader in 21 years, died after undergoing 7 operations since March the 14th. The first operation began just at the time that Henry Kissinger and Ronald Reagan were having their little lunch. 4 days later, but the same day their pictures in the paper, that's when his surgery began, actually the 14th, and he was supposed to have been sworn in on the 15th, and he died April, it was in the news, printed up April the 22nd. On April the 5th, Ronald Reagan was asked at his press conference he had on Central America. The question was, President-elect Tancredo Neves of Brazil was operated today for the 5th time, and the reports of his health are not very hopeful. Do you have any comment on that? Ronald Reagan, I'm having a little trouble because I ran out of a battery. Question again, the President of Brazil. Reagan, oh, the President of Brazil. Oh, I'm sorry. Question again, do you have any comment on that? Reagan, I certainly don't want to. Yes, I do. I think that this was a great forward step for Brazil, and all we can do is hope and pray for his well-being. A great forward step. And of course, the news at that time period was saying Brazil's new rulers face prompt testing. Another one, Washington Post, Neves' illness threatens the Brazilian hopes for a fresh start. And then an article sent to me from a listener, Washington Report on the Hemisphere, Brazil is the democracy in crisis. As Mr. Neves went under surgery for the 5th time in less than 3 weeks, it seemed that with his health so grave, that was a bad sign for the country, for a nascent democratic government that was just about to begin. Another article, several articles when he was first operated on, a political medical emergency, a politico medical emergency, San Francisco Examiner. Tancredo Neves underwent emergency surgery today. This was March the 15th. The surgery, I suppose, was on the 14th. Vice President-elect Jose Sarney, S-A-R-N-E-Y, will take over in the interim. Until last year, that's 1984, Sarney was the head of the military regime. He changed parties and then became the vice president, and he's now the president. It said, the doctor said the president-elect's condition was very good. The medical opinion was the most optimistic possible. Mr. Neves might be discharged as early as today, the day after the operation. There's no reason to worry, they assured the people. The first reports said that he suffered from appendicitis. Then another story, Brazilian president is ill. He misses the swearing-in. This is on the 16th. The newly elected president underwent surgery Friday. He missed the inauguration, but the transition went ahead. Attending the services was Vice President George Bush. A chant was going, go home, go home, greeted Bush and Langhorne Motley, M-O-T-L-E-Y. You know him from Central and South America and his role in repressions in those countries, as well as George Bush's role with the murder of Orlando Letelier and Ronnie Moffitt right in Washington, D.C. Motley is Assistant Secretary for Inter-American Affairs. They were yelling to him, go home, go home. Another story, civilian takes office today as Brazil's president, and it tells how the Brazilian armed forces stepped down Friday after 21 years in power. Just a few days ago, Mr. Neves heard himself being compared to Moses. Your Excellency has given the Mosaic mission of leading this people to the promised land of justice, peace, work, and love. That was 2 days before his so-called appendicitis diagnosis was given, and then he was put in the hospital. It said that he replaced the military dictatorships. There were 5 generals since 1964, and now this was a chance for him to succeed. The New York Times said the dark side of the economic model in Brazil was neglect of social needs. When he came into office, or would have come into office, Brazil's health, nutrition, education, and housing standards are no better than those of Central America. The jobs fell behind, and there grew from 80 million people to 130 million in 21 years. Almost all Catholic country, and the Pope violently fighting abortions, 130 million. Then another story from the Los Angeles Times, Neves stricken on the eve of his inauguration. It says, Mr. Alves, a politician close to Neves, said that the attending physician said he will be able to assume the presidency within a few days. He's doing fine. Neves had enjoyed good health during the last 6 months. He actively campaigned for the presidency. But on Thursday, he attended a Roman Catholic Mass offered by Archbishop Jose Revende of Belo Horizonte, the same capital where Jim Jones specialized and did his CIA work, just coincidental, of course, the capital of Neves' home state of Minas Gerais, G-E-R-A-I-S. Neves flew to the national capital in the afternoon. The president-elect was stricken at his home during the night. He was with the Catholic, Roman Catholic Archbishop at Belo Horizonte and got sick in the night with what was supposed to be appendicitis. Now, I say, as I did as early as September 1978, that John Paul I was murdered. The book In God's Name by David Yollop that came out in 1984 goes into that extensively. I was 5 years ahead of that. This Mr. Tancredo Neves was murdered by the same people, and the people that he worked with were William Casey, Vernon Walters, William Simon, George Bush, of course, and Henry Kissinger, and the people that did not want him, of course, to succeed. But his new vice president, the vice president that is the president, was one of their military until a year ago. And just at the time he is to take office and be sworn in, 2 days before, he has a little party in Belo Horizonte with the archbishop, and he gets sick in the evening. Now, this parallel is very similar to Evita Peron, that book, Evita, The Life and Death of Evita Peron, that I referred to. It came out in 1979. And this tells about her sickness because she was to release that Nazi gold. But the parallels are similar, and I just want to run through it very quickly. At the height of her power, Eva Peron had been very healthy. The first sign of trouble came in January 1950 when the First Lady was hospitalized for what was officially described as appendicitis operation. Eva never appeared to heal properly. She got paler and more nervous. Juan Peron, of course, wasn't worried. She was worried, and he told her the doctor said there wasn't anything to do about it. She was fine. Her family began to complain, and she began to complain that she was being used by Juan Peron. Every day she dragged herself to the office, and it said she kept new money to hand out to people. It was delivered to her to make her appear she was still charitable. But by the middle of 1951, and she had a lingering death, this took a little while, like Martha Mitchell. It wasn't a sickness that this poor president had, would be president. I want to call him president because I think he should have been president, but it wasn't that kind of a situation. Oh, there was one other article I just wanted to mention, that the doctor who took care of him brought a special medicine from the United States and administered to him. He was from Boston and flew down to Brazil to administer this special medicine for his infection. And that added to the original problem. Well, Evita Peron had not a quick death like that, but a lingering one. And this book says how there wasn't any hope, and there was speculation about Eve's last illness. The diagnosis in the press at the time, it ranged from acute leukemia to uterine cancer. And she died, some people said she died after the after effects of an explosion in her bathroom, a bomb. There also is an article saying that Mr. Neves died from a shot in the stomach. And we'll never know, but there were the same discrepancies. And then it goes into the large tumor she had. But she was very well. She had what was supposed to be appendicitis, what is a somewhat simple diagnosis. And then her illnesses did her in. And then Peron wheeled her out to give a speech in May of 1952, wheeled her back. Evita Peron was dead. And then the Martin Bormann money of Otto Skorzeny and Walter Rauch and Sir Ulrich Rudel and all the top Nazis were able to swing in the 1950s from 52 on with their money. Now, I mentioned last week the article, a very important story from the Washington Post, Brazilian Bank Regime Crumbles by Richard House. This is March the 31st. Maria Bernardo Garnero, G-A-R-N-E-R-O, was at the peak of his investment banking career. He was untouchable in 1982. He had been chosen to welcome President Reagan on a visit that Garnero had been responsible for. He was head of an association with New York financier William Simon, a Knight of Malta, a former Secretary of the Treasury, and Secretary of State George P. Shultz when Shultz was the executive of the Bechtel Corporation. He was named 1984 Man of the Year by the Brazilian American Chamber of Commerce in New York, and now he's been trapped from his perch with a sudden upheaval this month, a casualty of a powerful anti-corruption campaign launched by Brazil's new civilian government. The first day in office, March 18th, Finance Minister Francisco Dornelles, D-O-R-N-E-L-L-E-S, ordered the liquidation of Garnero's company and began legal moves to have him arrested for alleged financial fraud involving $68 million. Now, this is March the 18th, when the would-be president has already been sick for 3 days and didn't ever make the inauguration. The government alleges that Garnero owes $5.4 million in unpaid taxes. There are strong indications under the criminal code that he could be prosecuted. If convicted, he would be the first Brazilian banker to go to jail for financial crimes, despite what the government said was a long-standing pattern of financial fraud and corruption in the past 20 years in Brazil. The new government of President-elect Tancredo Neves has replaced a 21-year-old military administration unable to account for billions of dollars of missing state funds, and Neves has called the financial corruption one of the most hated symbols in the abuse of power. Nobody went to jail in the past 20 years, and now we're going to change this, he said, because of the ethical questions. And the of course, Garnero, is dead. Neves, the would-be president of Brazil. Garnero is the one who was doing the problems with the money. Garnero ignored the fundamental shift in values in Latin America and continued under the military rule to have accumulated numerous illegalities, the siphoning of funds from his investment bank into phantom companies. His flagship was called the Brazil Invest, one word, Brazil, B-R-A-S-I-L-I-N-V-E-S-T, Brazil Invest. It was 61 among the largest firms, and it was strong part of the investment bank BBI set up 10 years ago to bring in over $1 billion in loans. Now, this investment company was set up in Salzburg, Austria, with Mr. George Schultz and Mr. William Simon. They were the what they called unpaid advisors to Brazil Invest. Schultz cut his relationships because in 1982 he became Secretary of State in the Reagan administration, or worked for them, replaced Alexander Haig. But William Simon, a Knight of Malta, of course, a friend of Garnero's, is still associated with him. The Justice Ministry issued a restraining order on the assets of Garnero and 10 Brazil Invest advisors, including Helio Schmidt, MSIDT, and Wolfgang Sauer, S-A-U-E-R, the president of Brazil's international airline, Varig, and a Volkswagen Brazilian subsidiary. Garnero's wife owns 22% in Volkswagen subsidiary. Garnero earned a seat on the company's board and amassed a fortune of $52 million. Now, the Volkswagen in Brazil was under the control mainly of a Mr. Wagner, the gentleman who fled to the police department the night he was photographed at celebrating the birthday of Adolf Hitler. And at that time, this is the information that I had received, that Adolf Hitler had attended that party, and from then on didn't go back to Argentina, went to a sanitarium in Switzerland, and Wagner went to the police department for protection because they were both photographed together at that particular party. Later, Wagner, in quotes, commit suicide. He was part of the Volkswagen, the head of it down there, and this Garnero's wife had 22% of the Volkswagen subsidiary. The article says Garnero was not the first man mentioned with the debt crisis. The first one was a shipyard owner, Paulo Ferraz, who's also dead. They said he commit suicide in February when the story of his money and his creditors came out. And this $545 million loan that the state was supposed to have that he skipped out on, and he is also dead. So one has fled and is not around Garnero. One is dead, and the would-be president of Brazil is dead. Aware of the Brazil Invest impending collapse, Garnero sought into their group using $33 million worth of paper from his own bank, and he created a network where various banks would collapse worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And because they were so big, like the Continental Illinois, he thought the government would bail them out. But instead of bailing them out, they voted a new president, the vice president being a man from the former military, and the president is dead. Now, Executive Intelligence Review, April 16th, had this story. Brazil asked Uruguay about dirty practices. The Brazilian government has asked their neighbor Uruguay to answer questions about their role in the asset stripping of a major Brazilian bank, Banco Sulbrasileiro, S-U-L-B-R-A-S-I-L-E-I-R-O, Baleiro, that was put into receivership. It went bankrupt, leaving a $300 million hole. Brazil's acting president, José Sarney, because the other president is in the hospital with an appendicitis that has seven other diagnoses as time goes on, he seems to have made a deal with Congress that the government would make one more expensive bailout if the Sulbrasileiro directors were jailed and tried on criminal charges. Their trail led to Uruguay, where they recently placed loans to fraudulent shells. Uruguay is known as the Switzerland of South America during World War II. The titled families among Hitler's supporters in Central and South America chose Uruguay for safekeeping of their gold hoards, and this is where Nazis would put their money and go after the war. After the war, the flow from Eastern Europe increased, and Licio Gelli, the Grand Master of the illegal Freemasons, P2 Lodge, carried the fortunes of Italian fascists down there to Uruguay. In 1982, Gelli was found to have filled an entire Montevideo building with his offices. Now, this is also the state in South America that is run by Reverend Moon. This is where his millions are, and Moon worked with Mr. Mengele, Joseph Mengele, who probably was at the operating table at the time that this poor would-be president of Brazil was being operated on, that became a horrible mess with seven surgeries. In another newspaper story, this is from New Solidarity, which, interestingly enough, always is ahead of their time in making certain connections. They have Schultz's pal caught in Brazil Invest scandal. Mario Garnero, the best friend in Brazil of Secretary of State George Schultz and former Treasury Secretary William Simon, is on his way to jail. Why doubt that now that the would-be president is dead? The new government picked this company for punishment, it says, and it goes on. It was founded in Salzburg, and it tells about the manipulation of money, and the idea was to make a consortium and to loot and choose industrial, agricultural, mineral properties in Brazil to get a consortium of Americans such as George Schultz and William Simon and pour this money down there. And a good hunk of it was supposed to be put in the first woman's bank in New York to have an in-house money for laundering and helping the royal families down in South America. Henry Kissinger had invited Mr. Garnero, this is Crook Garnero, who has just fled, to his Vail, Colorado World Futures meeting in August of 1982. That was 3 months after Licio Gelli was hung and the world banks were going to collapse, a lot of them, and get very nervous. And Henry Kissinger had him in Colorado. This was supposed to be the turning point for debts, where they turned them into equity. Garnero opened the doors for Henry Kissinger on his Brazil visits. He was awarded Man of the Year Award in 1984 by Rockefeller, and their Chamber of Commerce, and honors continued between George Schultz and William Simon and Mr. Garnero down in Brazil and in the United States. The president-elect, Tancredo Neves, refused the bailout of the banks, and on March the 4th, the day that he was to take office, he put up papers to get Mr. Garnero, and he in turn went in the hospital, and the rest is history. There's another long story about the investments of Mr. Garnero, his relationship to George Schultz and William Simon in Executive Intelligence Review. I don't have time because time is running out. It says Garnero's association with Henry Kissinger goes back a long way. They were associates in 1964. I think I mentioned that last week, when Kissinger, the obscure Harvard professor, was giving lectures in Brazil. He was just wetting his toes. Vernon Walters, the CIA director, had overturned that country right after Kennedy was killed, and they had put Brazil in the hands of the military dictatorship. And then Mr. Rockefeller, with his interest in South America, and of course J. Peter Grace's interest in South America, and William Simon and Gerald Ford and various people from the Ford administration were down there working with Mr. Garnero. And this article tells about their meetings and their manipulation of money and their political recognition of each other. Mr. Vernon Walters, a Knight of Malta, William Simon, a Knight of Malta, and the scandals that go to George Schultz, the Secretary of State. And again, it's Henry Kissinger sitting with the President of the United States, having his lunch and grinning, and very conspicuously calling attention to themselves And then 2 days later, this poor president, this would-be president, is with the archbishop down in Brazil, has a dinner, goes home sick, has appendicitis, it isn't that at all, has 7 painful operations, and is dead. That is the way democracies don't go into functioning. They don't roll. We see it over and over again. It can't be coincidental. The same names, the same places, the same people, the same people that killed John Paul I wiped out this poor man. He's laid to rest by now. It is a tragedy. It's our tragedy. It happened in Dallas. It happens in Brazil. It happens again in Brazil. It'll happen all over the world until these people get what they want, which is their dictatorships. But there's no time for that now. Time is running out. The hour is running out, so I have to stop. This is Mae Brussel speaking to you from Pacific Grove, California, and I'll be with you next week.